Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esquire Coaching Radio, where we help attorneys achieve unparalleled personal and professional success. And now here's your host, Anne Jenrette Thomas.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show. It is such a pleasure to be here with all of you today. As you know, Esquire Coaching is a national coaching and consulting firm that's dedicated to empowering lawyers to happily succeed in the business of law. To that end, we discuss the full range of topics, from building business to getting a job to work-life balance and everything in between. Today, we have a very special guest, Heather Stanislaus, who is going to talk to us about her new book, The Evolution of Her, Redefining Your Beliefs About Your Feminine Identity. And I cannot wait to tell you all about this book and this topic. So here's a little bit about her book. Evolution begins with the recognition that there is no single defined path to a fulfilling life. A fascinating evolution of identity is occurring in which women everywhere are redefining themselves, and this is particularly true with women lawyers. The Evolution of Her describes how we can take part in this thrilling cultural movement by living the lives we want instead of following society's prescriptive life plan. In her book, Heather shows us how we can redefine our beliefs about ourselves as women against the backdrop of the modern age without giving up on the dream of finding a life partner or having children, but only if we want them. With her guidance, you will begin to see the social and psychological forces that influence your beliefs about your identity and come to appreciate your life in a new way. And let me share a little bit about Heather. Heather embarked on a journey of self-discovery over 10 years ago through the practice of yoga and meditation. She is a thought-provoking contemporary woman dedicated to guiding individuals to apply practical wisdom in their everyday lives in order to uncover their personal truths. She is a game changer, and it's my true honor to welcome you. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and joining you guys.
So let me just take a moment to remind my listeners before we dive into our conversation that there will be time at the end of this call for you to dial in and speak to Heather directly. You'll simply have to call 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. That's 347-838-8719 and press 1. I'll repeat that later. All right, Heather, let's dive right in. So
sure.
What inspired you to write The Evolution of Her?
So what inspired me to write this book, The Evolution of Her, as a young woman, I believe that my life needed to follow a very prescriptive life plan that has been handed down to women from generations to generations. More specifically for me, I believe that I couldn't be happy unless I got married and I had kids, and I did that all within a certain age. Now, for me, I'm a business professional, and the expectations of this prescriptive life plan became a challenge for me to have a successful career and then also manage being married and having kids within a predefined and very short time frame. And so as I talked to more and more women, more and more professional women, I realized that this issue that I was dealing with wasn't isolated, but that many women were faced with the expectations of what I call or coin the feminine identity. And we struggle with balancing those expectations with who we want to be and struggle with designing our own life plans. And so after going through my own issues and really reflecting on my own life, as well as talking to numerous women, I decided that we needed a change and that we needed to evolve our thinking. And so I wanted to share a new and refreshing perspective.
I love it. And you have definitely accomplished this with this really thought-provoking book. So tell us a little bit about what was your objective for writing The Evolution of Her?
My overall objective is, you know, as I talk to people, you know, we get a lot of pressure from people and we get a lot of pressure from society that we have to live our lives a certain way. And if we don't, we're judged or we feel ashamed that we're not. And I just grew tired, and I was sick of everyone telling me who I needed to be and what I needed to have in my life in order to be happy. And so as I started to explore my own life and really reflect on that, you know, I thought that it was important to have a voice of reason, to not tell women who they should be or who they need to be, but really help them in getting below the surface of their thinking so that they can find out who they truly are for themselves. And so really wanted to start a new conversation. I wanted to start a new movement in our consciousness about who we need to be rather than being influenced and allowing other people to dictate who we should be in our lives. And really just assist women in understanding what influences our beliefs about who we need to be and how we can move forward in a healthy way to live the lives that we want.
I love it. And this is a really relevant topic. You know, we deal with a lot of female attorneys who are struggling with the same types of issues. It's a demanding profession, as you know, and it also has caused a lot of women to put certain things on hold, whether it's finding a mate or having children, and this constant struggle, this personal dilemma that we see over and over again. I feel like you're really calling forth for all of us to question, what is this really about? And that's one of the things I love about this book.
Yeah, just to echo now, what you said, you know, as I talk to different women, I will say that this issue didn't pertain to one class of woman. You know, it didn't matter what profession they were in, what culture they came from, their age. We've all faced the expectations of who we need to be and balancing that with who we really want to be and the fight for free will to choose that path, any path that we want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, some of our listeners might want to know, you're a full-time accountant. How did you balance pursuing your dream of writing the book full-time in such a high-demanding job?
Yes, I do have a high-demanding job, full-time job, and, you know, this was a project that I took on about a year and a half ago, and to be quite candid and honest, it did take dedication, and it took discipline, probably more dedication than discipline. So there were things that I had to sacrifice. I would, you know, carve out a few hours a day, whether it was early in the morning before I left for work or in the evening when I got home from work, to just, you know, chip away at it little by little. You know, I think that the one thing that as professionals, as women, as mothers, we have a great, we have a lot of skills, a lot of requisite skills, such as like time management, project management, being resourceful. That's almost embedded in our nature, I feel. We do it in our everyday lives, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a professional. And so I really just leverage the skills that I've learned and developed over my professional years to apply to really managing the process of the book and getting it done. And so it was no easy task, but looking back, it was well worth it. I had, you know, certainly had my days where I was tired, like we all are, just trying to juggle and balance all of our responsibilities in our lives. But, you know, what I try to do is I try to not make this book about me. You know, I think that if I had made the book about me and what I could get out of it and what I was doing, that it wouldn't have pushed me to get through it. Because like I said, there were a lot of times where, you know, I wanted to just put this on a shelf and walk away. But, you know, I really would reflect on what was my overall mission in writing the book. And my overall mission, again, was to really change the conversation and start a movement in our consciousness, you know, to help women or to provide them with, like, the different seeds of thought on how they can really look at their lives and how they could lead fulfilling lives, even though it may be following different paths. And then the other thing I think that helped me get through the book, I mean, there were many times where I just had negative thoughts. You know, I am an accountant by trade. I've never written a book. This was the first project that was completely out of my comfort zone. And so there was this consistent negative talk. And so I really had to be cognizant and conscious of the negative talk. And any time that arose, you know, just, you know, encourage myself to keep going. You know, I use good resources and putting the book together and really trusting that this book would come together. And so those were the tools that I used to really get me through this process, as well as managing a career and staying focused at my career and doing a good job there.
Brilliant. I love it. And, you know, what a good way to transfer business and work-related skills to this passion project. So
yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Dive in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into the meat of this book. The subtitle
sure.
of this book is Redefining Your Beliefs About Your Feminine Identity. And throughout the book, you refer to the feminine identity. Can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Sure. So I refer to the feminine identity in the subtitle as well as throughout the book. And the feminine identity to me is the narrative that we've been given or inherited about who we need to be as women. And I feel that exists no matter what life stage you're in. So if you're single, there's a narrative that, oh, when are you going to get married? If you're married, there's this expectation of, oh, when are you going to have kids? When you're a mother and you finally do have kids, then there's an expectation of, oh, are you going to work? Are you going to be a full-time working mother? Are you going to stay home with your kids? And so we have all of these expectations of what it is to be a woman that we're trying to balance. And, you know, a lot of these narratives and expectations are considered normal for what women should be doing. And so in my book, I really want to explore, okay, well, what are those expectations? Why do we have those expectations? What are the influences that cause those expectations? And how can we look beyond that? How can we really define our lives for ourselves? But before we can do that, we have to understand where these expectations come from. If we don't understand that, then we really can't live the lives that we want. And so in the book, I really walk through the different influences in our lives, whether they're social, cultural, or psychological issues, for why we may feel the way we feel, and then really crafting your own feminine identity. And to be honest with you, feminine identity is something that's been handed down to us. The focus of my book is not necessarily on feminine identity. It's really identity. Mm-hmm. Like, we can scratch the word feminine from this conversation, mm-hmm. right? Because that inherently in that, there's some expectations in the word feminine. It's really about getting at what is our identity. And I feel like once we can get to the core of our identity, we can be free and create the space to live the lives we want. And that does not mean that we don't have to, or diminish our desire for having a career, finding a mate, and having kids. You know, I don't think that is necessarily fair. I don't think that in many instances is realistic. But I think that we just need to reframe and maybe redefine what it means in the time frames that we see for ourselves.
I love that. And in fact, there's a great quote in your book that I think really speaks to this and reflects a little bit about your own journey. You write, "Just because you believe something doesn't make it true." I just love that quote so much because I do, and I love how you were so candid about your own experience of being willing to take a step back and challenge your beliefs. Most people, you know, once they have a belief, it is rock solid. It is, you know, ironclad truth to them. And so for you to be able to take a step back and say, wait a minute, why do I believe what I'm believing and about by what age I should be married and have children and, you know, whether that makes me a success or a failure. I think that was really pivotal. Now, what are some of the top three ways that a woman can redefine her identity or her feminine identity for herself?
Sure. So I think you actually just touched upon one of the ways, and that's understanding your beliefs. I think that is so important for us to understand what we believe and, more importantly, who we believe we are and who we believe we should be. Because I think once we're able to understand our beliefs and where they come from, then we can really analyze it. Like, we can literally take that belief and look at it and say, why do I believe this? And that's what I did in my own personal life. You know, for so long I felt like I had to be married and I had to have kids and that had to have happen by a certain age. All the while I had all these other responsibilities, a high-pressure profile job and other organizations that I was involved in. And it came to a point where I really had to question, why do I think my life has to follow a prescriptive life plan? And so I didn't diminish my desire to have a life partner and have kids. That would be great if I can have that in my life. But once I was able to look at my beliefs, I was able to disconnect or make myself unattached to the thought that I had to be a certain way. And so when we cling to certain beliefs, then that's when we struggle. So one of the ways that one of the things that I encourage women to do is first we have to understand our beliefs, because we do hold a lot of compromising beliefs about who we need to be. And in order to understand our beliefs, you know, there's certain influences such as culture, our families, customs, where we grew up, that are going to influence that. And so when we're able to look at it, we're able to isolate it and look at it objectively. One of the other things in terms of understanding our beliefs is we have to get to know ourselves. You know, we spend so much time learning the expectations and the needs of others, what other people think we should be, what other people want for us, how other people think we will be happy. But we spend so little time getting to know the person that we spend the most amount of time with, and that's ourselves. And so we really have to focus on developing introspective practices of getting to know ourselves. That starts by, you have to question when you feel something, when you believe something, when you think something, question why, like continuously ask why. And then I think what happens naturally is you start to get rid of all these false ideals of perfection, and that really gives you the freedom to be you. So understanding your beliefs about who you are is one of the things I would recommend. The second thing is really understanding and embracing your power of choice. So, and that really begins, it goes back to the first recommendation, but it begins with your power of choice, of the power of what you believe. But I think so often we feel that we don't have options, but everything in life is a choice. And so if we believe that we don't have options and we don't have choice, we're limiting ourselves off the bat. Everything in life is a choice. And so, you know, we need to own our power of choice. We can't give that away to someone else to make our life decisions for us, because then we become disempowered. And the third thing that I would recommend, and actually I picked this up from one of the partners in my former firm, is reinvent yourself, or how I would say it in my book is evolve, right? So I remember I was changing groups, and I was nervous because it was different for me. It was outside of my comfort zone. And I'll never forget, I bumped into one of the partners in the cafeteria and was explaining this to her. And she said, you know what, it can never hurt you to reinvent yourself. And, you know, that always stayed with me. And what I found is every time that I've chosen to reinvent myself or really push myself outside of my comfort zone, that has always been positive. I've always been able to learn better skills. I've always been able to meet great people. And so I think that we really have to stay open to the idea that we're here to learn and grow. And so if we, you know, restrict ourselves or limit ourselves, you know, to staying in this one box and not really pushing ourselves and evolving ourselves, then it's going to be really difficult to grow.
So well said. So well said.
So I know that's a mouthful, but.
No, but I got it. You know, question your beliefs. Remember that you have choice and be willing to evolve. I mean, just it's really key. And what's particularly stunning about this is how many people have their beliefs on autopilot and don't even realize that they're being run by something that they could have choice over if they just took the time to contemplate it. I'm going to take a second to remind our listeners that now is the time. If you want to talk to Heather, now is the time to call in 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. That's 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. And while we're waiting, I have a couple more questions that I wanted to ask you, Heather. Okay. You know, we, especially as professional women, there's a lot of expectation for women to be super women. You know, this notion that we should have it all, great career, mm-hmm. spouse, kids, beauty, being skinny. What advice can you share with the audience about this image of perfection that's expected from women?
This notion of Superwoman and Wonder Woman, I'm not quite sure where it came from, because it's really not that common. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. This is not to say that you can't have it all in life. You can have a great career, a husband, kids, you can be beautiful, you can be, you know, you can have that, but it's really not that common that we achieve that in a very confined time frame. And so, but there's this expectation that a woman has to be perfect. And so we become so busy chasing the false ideals of perfection that we've become imprisoned to the belief that we have to have it all. And that we feel like we are a winner in life if we can check off all the boxes on this happiness list. And, you know, truth be told, we need to get rid of these expectations. If we want to have certain things in our life, there's no harm in setting an intention for that and maybe planning out for some of those things and really changing the expectations within ourselves that, you know, we may have to prioritize some of these things that we want to achieve, or we may have to plan it out and really choose between two options. You know, the one thing that I speak about in the book is, you know, expectations by definition is not what's living inside of us. It's usually us trying to match our energy to someone else's energy, and that's when we feel the most compromised. So we need to get rid of these expectations. We can set our intentions, we can plan, but really get rid of the expectations and really live our lives according to us.
Hmm. You know, you have another great quote. As Oprah would say, it's a tweetable moment. And you write, that which you can't control is that which you shouldn't agonize over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a great, profound, yet challenging statement, because I think this is where so many of us get caught, right? When you're striving for perfection or some image of Superwoman or some sense of being a perfect woman, mm-hmm. then you're trying so desperately to control things. And here, I think you're making it very clear that there's so little that really is in our control. And if it's not in your control, not to agonize over it. What advice mm-hmm. do you have for women who are, you know, professional women who have high career aspirations and want to start a family of their own or be a successful working mother, you know, what would you say to them, especially in this context of control?
I would say you don't have to give up on your dream of mothering. You don't. You don't have to give up on your dream of finding a life partner and having children. I think that that's very much a part of being human. We want to connect. We want to share our love. We want to procreate. So we don't have to give that up. I think that we just need to look at our expectations and maybe modify our expectations and then plan accordingly. So as an example, you know, one of the hot topics of today is egg freezing and embryo freezing, and a few of the big companies mm-hmm. out in Silicon Valley, like Facebook and Apple, are now paying for women to freeze their eggs. Now, this is not necessarily a rule of thumb for most companies now, but, you know, for women who are, you know, have high career aspirations and are deferring having kids or getting married, this is something that women may want to consider. Now, this may seem strange or odd for us today, but it's a consideration. And so if you think that you're constrained by your biological clock, then you will be. But there's certainly options that I think are available today to us that weren't available even 10 years ago to women that we should really mm-hmm. think about and take advantage of. And that's one of the things that, you know, I really want to impress in my book, that we are different than the women that came before us. You know, we have so many more opportunities than our grandmothers and our mothers. They, you know, and just in terms of careers and education and our ability to own our reproductive rights. And so we need to evolve our thinking with our evolution in society. And so maybe egg freezing is not for you, but, you know, maybe there's some other alternative, such as adoption or some other form of parenting that's available for you. But we really need to evolve our thinking to match our contemporary times.
I completely agree with you. And again, it goes back to questioning what we take for granted as foundational beliefs. So I think this book is right on time. You know, in your book, you speak about this, we have a tendency to overproject, going too far into the future, and that we can have intentions for the future, but we really shouldn't be attached to a specific outcome. Can you elaborate on this concept?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you really pay close attention to your own life and the way you think, most of us really spend a majority of our lives in the fantasy of the future. What we'll look like, what house we'll be living in, what job we'll have, you know, what how our kids will be. And so we're always playing in the space of the fantasy of the future. And what that does is that creates a lot of stress, anxiety, and fear, because we either fear we're not going to get this fantasy, or we're stressed out trying to get it. And truth be told, so much is subject to change. So when we're fantasizing about the future, that's really based on our needs, desires, and wants today, but that's going to most likely change. Like, when we look at ourselves even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, who we were then is not who we are now. So I think it's safe to say that who we're going to be in 10 years or in 5 years is going to be radically different than who we are now, and our needs, wants, and desires are going to change. And so we can set an intention for the future, but we have to be really careful that we don't cling to a certain outcome, because when we cling to a certain outcome, I think that what happens is, one, we're not living presently, and then we live in fear. And so it just creates a lot of anxiety and stress. So I think that we really have to adopt the mantra that everything is subject to change, and that we have to be flexible and not rigid. We have to be willing to change along with our expectations and beliefs, and we have to allow life to take its course while, you know, having an intention for the future, but not getting caught in that fantasy so much that you suffer today.
Really well said. And at the same time, you're, especially in this day and age, it feels like change is happening rapidly. You know, it's just, you can't help but notice how fast things are evolving. I want to thank you so much. I can't believe we're near the end of this interview. And I want to ask you, I know, right? 30 minutes goes by fast. So how can our listeners find your book?
So my book is available in paperback on Amazon, and then in ebook format on Amazon, iBooks, and Barnes & Noble's for the Nook. So, you know, I really hope people enjoyed this conversation. If you're going to go out and support the book, which is my hope, you know, I really hope that, you know, this book really supports you as you, you know, go on your personal journey of self-development and self-discovery.
Absolutely. And I've had the honor of talking to you prior to this interview, and I know that one of your intentions here is just to start the conversation, just to have women think about this for themselves, to challenge their own beliefs, to maybe come together in small groups and start, you know, forming a sisterhood where we're challenging each other and our beliefs in terms of our identity. So
absolutely.
I think you've started a great conversation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, everyone. It's been such a pleasure to have you here with us today. This is Heather Stanislaus, author of The Evolution of Her. And I encourage you to go ahead and get yourself a copy. It really is a game changer. Next week, we're going to talk with Nat Cooper-Mitri on how to partner with love to get what you want. Until then, everyone, be well.